Ezekiel chapter 47. Prophet was taken in vision. And it says, then he brought me back in verse 1, Ezekiel 47, verse 1, to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Think about it here. Since that ends a little higher, you know, imagine water coming down here, flowing across the floor and heading out this door. Jerry, that'd be your absolute best thing you could imagine, huh? See water come flowing. What's this water? Water flowing out of the temple there. Verse 2, he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. So this water was running out of the temple, out of the gateway. Verse 3, and when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the water. The water came up to my ankles. So as he walked out the door, they went out a ways. And he walked through the water, and the water was just ankle deep. Verse 4. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. And as he keeps going a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further, it's at his ankles and his knees and his waist, and pretty soon he can't go through it at all. This water deepens as it goes along. The water continues to rise as it goes away from the source. It broadens and deepens. Look at verses 8 and 9 now. Verses 8 and 9. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. So this river that starts out as a trickle coming out of the temple, it turns into this river that has healing properties. It is a river of healing. And then look at verse 12. Verse 12, along the banks of the river and on this side and that shall grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit. How often? Every month. Sound familiar? It will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, right? Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for what? Medicine. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? Doesn't this sound like something you've read somewhere else? Maybe toward the end of the Bible a little further, huh? Where else have you read something like this? Revelation, way down toward the end then? Revelation what? 22. Revelation 22. Yes, turn there. Revelation 22, right at the beginning. And he showed me a pure river of water of what? Life. Now we see this water, and it's the water of life. Clear as crystal, proceeding from where? From the temple, from the throne of God, right? And from the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, yes, which bore how many fruit? 12, yes, one each month, right? Each tree yielding its fruit every month. This sounds just like what we read in Ezekiel, right? The leaves of the tree were for the healing, the medicine, right? This was the medicine of the nations. Does this sound like a picture of what? Millennium, heaven, right? This is looking forward to what God has done. And John has borrowed the language of Ezekiel, right? And brought it forward and talked about heaven. But Ezekiel wasn't talking about heaven. What? Take your bulletin. Look at the back. At the quote at the bottom there, are you with me? Wonderful is what? The work of the church. Wonderful is the work which the Lord designs to accomplish through His church. Wonderful is the work of the Lord through the church. And that His name may be glorified. A picture of this work. A picture of what? This work. Which work was that? The work that the Lord is going to accomplish through the church. The work that the church does. This is the work that we're picturing. Wonderful is the work which the Lord designs to accomplish through His church, that His name, why? That His name may be glorified. A picture of this work is given where? In Ezekiel's vision of the river of healing. Brothers and sisters, as we look at this, you have to understand that John borrowed from Ezekiel. Ezekiel was talking about the work of the church, and John saw the expansion of the work of the church being heaven. Think about that for just a moment. Last week we talked about the purpose of the church. Why is the church here? The why. This week, we're talking about the how. This week, we're talking about the river of life. We're talking about what God wants to accomplish, the work that He wants to accomplish, this picture of the work that the church does here in this sinful place, in this dark place, is the picture of the light of God that John expands to say, yes, yes, this is heaven. And the intention is, brothers and sisters, that we make heaven on earth. After all, didn't Jesus say something about the kingdom being among you? Let's take a look again at what Jesus did with His disciples. Turn with me to Book of Mark, please. The Book of Mark. The Book of Mark. What was Jesus' plan? What was going to happen with His church? The Book of Mark, chapter 3 again, where we read our scripture today. If you're in your YouVersion, you should have found the live event there on your iPhone, Android, tablet, whatever have you there. And we are reading again from verse 13. So He went up on the mountain and called to Him those He Himself wanted, and they came to Him. And so Jesus called these people to Him, and they came to Him. This was the genesis of His church, the kernel, the beginning of His church. And I want you to drop down to verse 14 there. Then he appointed 12. He appointed 12. What was the work of the 12? What did he envision for them to do? What was their purpose? What were they doing? Then he appointed 12 that they might do two things. Are you with me? That they might do two things from that verse. That they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. That they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. This is what Jesus wanted to do with his church. Have you noticed how much God wants to be with us? Do you recall back again in Revelation at the end where it says that he will come and dwell with us? This is the point of the church, to bring us together with God again. He wants to be with us. He wants us with him. He has always had this goal of bringing us back together. Sin separated us from God. His object from the Garden of Eden all the way through is to bring us back to him. To bring us back. To end that separation between man and God. And so Jesus had that object in the creation of the church. And that's part of why we're here today. That we might be together with Jesus. That we might worship together. That we might spend a few moments here together thinking what is in God's Word to be with him. And so here we are. But on a more practical level, he said he wanted to be with them. And for 3.5 years, these men were with Jesus, yes? 3.5 years, they were to associate with him, to learn to be like him. They were to have personal contact with Jesus. Personal contact. I don't know how many of you are into sports, you know, but there are some great coaches that have been through the years on various sports teams, right? Wonderful coaches. And guys would choose a college sometimes to play specifically for a certain coach. During the time of Jesus, people would come to be with specific rabbis, and they would become his disciples. And they would learn everything about him, the way he spoke, the way he acted, the way he ate his food and drank his water, where he slept, how long, on what. Did he use a pillow? Did he use a blanket? Everything about this guy they wanted to know, because they wanted to be just like him. And that was the idea with the disciples, to be with Jesus personally, day by day, every moment with him, listening to his words of cheer to those downtrodden, to those who were pressed by the cares of this world. Jesus would speak a word and they would learn, ah, this is how to minister. They would see him in action as he would take his own food and give it to others. Ah, this is how to minister. This is what I should do. This is how I should live. This is how I should be like him. As they would see him do his acts of mercy, they learned, this is what I do. This is how I should live. Jesus never commanded his disciples, do this or do that. Instead, he said to them, follow me. That was how he wanted them to live. Wherever he was, the crowded street, the desert, out on the boat, wherever they were with him. And they saw him in every phase of life. That's where we should be today, with Jesus. Same way, as we watch Jesus do things in the Scriptures, that's how we should live. That's where we should be. Jesus had another lesson for them in being with him. You see, the disciples were all very, very different. You read the list of disciples this morning. What's the first one you think of? Peter. Many of us think of Peter. Why? Peter's always right out there, man. Peter's just jumping out there all the time. It's like, you know, they're in the garden. Somebody comes up. Who's the guy with the sword? Ah, you know, it's like, Peter, dude. Chill out, man. And then maybe we think of John, right? Because John had a character that was just really something, right? And we could probably name several of the others, you know? All right, you know, Doubting Thomas and Andrew and Philip, right? You know, we know all of these guys, right? All right, tell me now all about Thaddeus. Yeah, Fatta who? Yeah, tell me all about Thaddeus. You never hear about Thaddeus. What'd he do? Who was he? You know? What did Thaddeus have going on? Clearly he had something big time going on with the Lord, or he would not have been one of the 12, right? He might have been one of the 120. But one of the 12, maybe not, right? These guys were all different. They had different interests. Simon the Zealot, what was his background? This guy was ready to go storm the gates and, you know, take over, and you'd have thought he'd have been the one with the sword. And then there was Doubting Thomas, right? You know, this guy's like, you know, until I see it, you know, I'm not there, right? So you get all of these different things come into play. And then there's all the prejudice, right? There's all the prejudice. Let's send those kids away. They're noisy. Is that what we should do, huh? Is that what we should do? Should we just put the kids off somewhere until they grow up?
No!
No way! No way! No way! What about that Canaanite woman? You remember? She came to Jesus saying, "Heal my daughter, heal my daughter." And Jesus is like, "I don't give bread to dogs. Get out of here." What? I mean, that's just hard to imagine, isn't it? What was Jesus' lesson there? Was that really his attitude? No. What was his lesson? That was his followers' attitude, wasn't it? And he was saying, "This isn't right. This isn't right." What about that? What about that centurion? You remember that centurion came to Jesus for healing for whom? For himself? For his servant, right? Came for his servant. The centurion was from Rome. This guy was the enemy. And yet Jesus healed his servant. And the Samaritans, he was always up there messing around with the Samaritans. In fact, he was accused of being a Samaritan almost. And Jesus had a lesson. For those who were following him, this is how we act. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, Samaritan, Roman, Canaanite. older people, younger people, people who've been in the faith for 50 years, people who were baptized last week. No difference. We don't make divisions. We bring people together. In Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 27, it talks about God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. God has brought us all together as one people. We as the church need to show that unity. We need to show that love for one another, as we talked about this morning. By this shall all men know that you are enemies one to another. That you can't get along even in your own church. Is that what it says? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Disciples, followers of the Master. The ones who are with him and live like him. That's who we are. Because the source comes from the tabernacle, right? The source of the water, the source of the healing comes from the tabernacle. It's not that you got to work up the strength to like somebody. They really tick me off. That's not what it is. It's not about you screwing up your courage so that you can put up with somebody else in the church any more than Thaddeus had to put up with Simon Peter. I just kind of think he might have, though, at first. After all, didn't they fight with one another about who's the greatest? They were clearly having to put up with one another for a while. But then something happened. And it wasn't that they decided anything or they worked hard on anything. It had to come from outside themselves. It had to flow from the sanctuary to them. And then, those waters healed. Right? We sang a song this morning. Twice. There shall be what? Showers of blessings. What are you looking for in those blessings? New car? Fancy house? What are you looking for? How about healing? How about what God wants to do in us? How about a river of life flowing through us, welling up in us to the point it cannot be contained? How about a river that as it goes out from us deepens and widens and more people are blessed by this? How about showers of blessings that go on to bless others, not us? It's not about showers of blessings for me. It's about showers of blessings that go out to others. That's what the showers of blessings are all about. Because if it's just to bless me, that's pretty selfish on my part, isn't it? Didn't it say something about showers of blessings? What's that last part? Showers of blessings we plead. Plead. I wonder if I actually plead. Verse 14, Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and the second part now, that he might send them out to preach. We, brothers and sisters, are sent. Okay, that clearly didn't make the impact I was expecting. We're sent. Thank you. We're sent. We're not people who are sitting. We're sent. Patty and I were experimenting with new phones, trying out some new phones. I'll give you all the phone numbers here as soon as we get them all figured out. It's been a real pain in the neck because we tried T-Mobile at first. I don't know how many of you have T-Mobile, but I could, with this phone at least, I couldn't even get a signal here in the church. And it's like, well, that isn't going to work. So I'm glad I didn't sign some big old long contract with these guys, right? So I'm trying out something else, and as soon as we get it all squared away, I'll give you all the phone number. But anyway, so we're waiting for the SIM cards. You know, little cards go in the phone, make them work, right? So we're waiting for the SIM cards. They're being sent to us by FedEx, you know. And so guess what I'm doing every day, right? I'm on my internet there, and I'm looking, when's this thing going to get here, right? All right, it left like, I don't know, man, someplace in New York or something, you know, and it's like, oh, please. So day by day, I'm tracking this thing, and it's getting closer and closer, you know. And finally, the day comes where it says what? Out for delivery. Yeah, now we're talking. Out for delivery. I'm good with this, right? How long would FedEx stay in business? Here's the key line, right? How long would they stay in business if they were sent? If they were sent and never delivered? How long would FedEx be in business if they were sent and never delivered? I worry. Am I sent but not delivering? Did Jesus send me but I'm not delivering? Am I listening? Am I pleading for those showers of blessing for my neighbor? Am I pleading for those showers of blessing for people out there who need to know Jesus so that when I'm sent, I can deliver? Am I making sense here? You follow me? Are we sent? Brothers and sisters, we are God's people sent in this world, and we have a message. We have a message to deliver to the world. We have the everlasting gospel to preach to them who dwell on the earth, right? Man, we're not just sent in Lakeland, we're sent around the world. But our field is Lakeland. Yeah. That little package with my SIM card, and it started in New York or wherever it was, right? And it jumped on some truck. Had to be a truck. It like took forever, it seemed to me. I don't know. Anyway, put on this truck. And there were FedEx employees, different ones, all along the way that touched this package, right? And finally, there was a guy at the end that came up and knocked on my door, right? And everybody wants to go, woohoo! The guy who knocked on my door, it's awesome. He's a great guy. I'm really pleased. But where would he have been without that truck driver? Where would he have been without that guy back in New York sorting this stuff out to get it on the right truck, right? It took different employees all along the way doing their job, right? The same is true for you and I. Somebody might be delivering the gospel right at the point of need, but behind them, there's a whole lot of people. And you can be that part of that person too. Hey, you might be in a place that nobody ever says thank you. Nobody says thank you to the guy driving the 18-wheeler from New York to Orlando or wherever he drove that thing to. Nobody said thank you to him. And guess what? When he got all done driving, he's thousands of miles from home. That's not fun for him. Probably spent a few nights away from home. Why? Because he had a job to do. And he was willing to do it because he was sent. Next week, well, even this week, the young people will be coming for once. Next week, we have singing bands at Carpenter's Home. Each week, there's things going on. There's prison ministry. There's work going on right next door here at the food pantry. We've got women's ministries doing things. We've got places to serve all over. We are a sent people. God has a work for us to do. Maybe you're just going to the food bank and bringing food to our food pantry, and you never see the people that receive the food. You never get a thank you. Does that mean that it doesn't still bless them? Sure does. Sure does. We can be that person. We have a message to bring to the world. That message is the everlasting gospel, part of the three angels' message of Revelation 14, yes? And if you recall, verse 12 says, here are the patience of the saints, right? Here are they who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus, right? If you have the faith of Jesus, doesn't mean you can't give it away. Okay? You can still give it away. And you get to keep it too. It's a great deal, isn't it? It's a great deal. So we are sent. We have a message. And this is like one of those infomercials, you know? But wait, there's more. Verse 15, check it out. I'm going to double the offer. Here we go. Verse 15, are you with me? And to have what? Power to do what? To heal. Power to heal. Brothers and sisters, oftentimes we think that if we can't walk up and go, prang, now you can see, that we don't have the gift of healing. Really? Really? Some people just need a kind word from you. Some people who just really, really blew it. In fact, they blew it so badly that they're covering it up with anger. You idiot, don't you know what you're doing? And they're yelling at you. Why are they yelling at you? Because if they're yelling at you, they can't hear you yelling at them. And they figure they'll jump on it first and cover it up. Make it like it was your fault. And all they really need is not for you to retaliate. Hey, wait a minute, you were the one. No, that's not what they need. What they need is a kind word from you. Who knows but whether that guy's wife's maybe laying in the hospital right now and his mind was 1,000 miles away because tomorrow she's going to have surgery and may not make it. And so when he pulled out into traffic just then, he had no clue that you were right there. And you might yell, you might blow your horn at him, you might do some weird things with your hands and stuff. No, not here. That's not what that guy needs. Maybe you can say, I'm praying for you. Maybe you can say a prayer for this guy. Maybe he needs some help right then. How do you know his situation? You're ready to yell because he pulled out in front of you. But you don't know where he came from. You don't know what's going on in his life. You have no clue. This is what Jesus did. As we look at the Master, as we spend time with him, this is what we see Jesus doing. We see him healing. And that water, as it goes from him, gets deeper and deeper and broader and stronger. And as it comes out from the sanctuary, get it? As it comes out from the sanctuary, everywhere it touches, it brings life. That's who we are. That's what we do. Our work is to bring life to a dying world. A world in need of Jesus. And this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, greater things shall ye do. Not that we'll be praying, touching anyone, and they're suddenly able to see, but that we're broadening and deepening the waters of life, the waters, the river of healing, as we go about being like the Master, because we've been with the Master. That's who we are. That's what we do. Church, you and I have two things expected of us. We need to be with Jesus. Couple of three weeks ago, I gave you a reading plan so that you could be reading. I hope you're enjoying that. If you haven't started, it's okay to start. If you do part of it, only part, that's fine. Get into God's Word. Spend time with Jesus. I think there's still more of them out there, aren't there? Aren't there still more out there? Are there still more? Anyway, if there aren't any more, I can get you more. Our work is to spend time with Jesus. Those of you who have YouVersion, I put links in there this week for you to download the Ellen White app so that you could read some of that material as well. Spend time with God. And then secondly, we are sent. We need to do that healing work. Not angry work, not vindictive work, not retaliatory work. I never see those in the Bible. What I see is the healing work of Jesus in the Scriptures. And so that's our work as well, to do the healing work of Jesus. This week, I want you to consider what it means for you to be with Jesus. And secondly, what you can do this week to be sent and to deliver. Right? I want you to consider that because Jesus made us a promise in John chapter 14 that he's coming again, yes? That where I am, he said, there ye may be also. That promise of heaven is there for you and I. Jesus wants to be with us personally. We have that opportunity. This week, we can make that happen. This week, we can continue, in most of your cases, that walk with Him, following the Master, and then delivering on His message.